I'd like to talk to you, and I'm going to try to do this as quick as possible from the topic. It is a lot to being her. It is a lot to being her. Whew. Sister Kim, if we could just go ahead and roll the scriptures. I'm going to read them, all three of them back to back, if that's all right. The book of Exodus, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, the New Living Translation. About this time, a man and woman from the tribe of Levi got married. The woman became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She saw that he was a special baby, underscore that, and kept him hidden for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she got a basket made of papyrus reeds and waterproofed it with tar and pitch, and she put the baby in the basket and laid it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile River. The baby's sister then stood at a distance watching to see what would happen to him. Soon Pharaoh's daughter came down to bathe in the river, and her attendants walked along the riverbank. When the princess saw, when the princess saw it, the princess opened it. She saw the baby. The little boy was crying, and she felt sorry for him. This must be one of the Hebrew children. That's what she said, verse number 7. Then the baby's sister approached the princess. "Should I go and find one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" she asked. "Yes, do," the princess replied. So the girl went and called the baby's mother. "Oh, Lord, take this baby and nurse him for me," the princess told the baby's mother. "I will pay you for your help." So the woman took the baby home. She took the baby home and she nursed him. Verse number 10. Later, when the boy was older, his mother brought him back to Pharaoh's daughter, who adopted him as her own. And the princess named him Moses, for she explained, "I lifted him out of the water." Oh, Lord. Numbers chapter 26, verse number 59 says, "And Amram's wife was named Jochebed. She also was a descendant of Levi, born amongst the Levites in the land of Egypt. Amram and Jochebed became the parents of Aaron, Moses, and of their sister Miriam." Last verse. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 23. "It was by faith that Moses' parents hid him for 3 months when he was born. They saw that God had given them an unusual child," underscore that, "and they were not afraid to disobey the king's command." Can I just go ahead and let you know right now that if you are going to raise godly children, if you are going to raise children that are going to be all that they are supposed to be, you're going to have to every now and again find yourself going up against the status quo. In other words, you're going to have to buck the system a few times when it comes to raising your child. You understand what I'm saying to you? And just because everybody else is all right with it, don't make it all right for yours. Somebody say amen. Amen. It is a lot to being her. I don't know why, but it seems that when Mother's Day comes around each year, I can't let it pass without preaching something about it. Most of you know me, and you know that these are types of days that I really don't like, because it usually takes me away from where it is I feel like God has me headed. And a lot of times, you know, I guess I would be all right with it if it wasn't so much materialism connected to it. Like Christmas. How is it supposed to be his birthday, but we get all the gifts? Mother's Day and Father's Day, all should be talking about him, because he said, "I'd be a mother to the motherless and a father to the fatherless." But how is it that we get gifts, but we don't give him any? I got a problem with these days, but here lately God has been dealing with me when it comes to preaching on mothers, and I'm more likely to let Father's Day pass. by without a message specifically for fathers, which doesn't make a lot of sense seeing how I'm a father, as to how I'm a father myself. So I have a lot more, I should have a lot more to say to fathers than mothers. Maybe the reason that I tend to do something special for Mother's Day is because I think mothers are some of the most underappreciated people in the world. Yeah, some of the most underappreciated people in the world. And I want everybody paying attention in the sanctuary today. Amen. We're not here to congregate with one another. We're here to hear the word of the Lord. Amen. 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 I think that one of the most unappreciated species on the world today is the mother. And I don't want to have to bust up seating arrangements, but I will if I keep seeing talking. I'm from that old school. My uncle used to jump out of the pulpit, spank you, and then get back up in the pulpit. Amen. And then you had to go eat with him after church, and it was supposed to be cool. You better act like nothing happened. Amen. And I think the older that I'm getting, I'm on that commercial where they say, you know, where they're trying to stop you from being like your parents out there washing the Herbie Kirby's, and you got church socks on with sandals and gym shorts. You understand what I'm saying to you? And it's something about this pulpit that the older that I get, the more sacred it becomes and the less disrespect I will take. And it don't make no never mind who it is. On Mother's Day, I like to remind everyone to be good to their mothers and appreciate them more. Sometimes I find myself saying to some children whose mothers are doing everything that they can, but the child, you know, we're dealing with this sense of entitlement in 2023. And no matter what it is that you do for your child, it seems like your child just does not appreciate the struggle, just does not appreciate the pain, just does not appreciate the hell that mothers go through making sure that the babies are okay. Amen. Now listen here, before I get started any further, I need to stop right now for a quick second because we got a new, and it's her fault that I don't know his name, and I'm going to blame Lovey for it, but I want y'all to stand up. We got a new married couple in the house. Come on, stand to your feet. Let's bless God for this married couple right here. Amen. Huh? Rice. Bryce. Brother Bryce. Huh? Bright. Brother Bright and Lovey, amen, got married this past week. Was this past weekend? Last weekend, amen. And I'm just going to tell y'all that they was playing a song selection before, and it was all clean. It was all clean, and I was sitting at the table, and they was playing a song selection, and I had to look around the room to see who all knew that I was the pastor because I was ready to, you know. And I said, we got to get out of here because they're going to talk bad about me here soon. Let's one more time give it up for this beautiful couple. Amen. We love you. We speak forever on your union. We speak blessings on your union. We speak financial prosperity on your union. We speak your health will be good as gold in this union. We come up against every demonic attack that comes up against you. We speak, decree, and declare with expectation and supernatural expectation at that victory, victory, victory in every area of your marriage. In Jesus' name, amen. Could not let that go. Could not let that go. Sister Lovey is good to us. Amen. Amen. So again, it's Mother's Day, and I'd like to remind everyone to appreciate their mothers more. In fact, some of you kids in here, after service is over, should just wake up, walk up to your mom and say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Thank you. And you might give them two or three more extra ones because tomorrow's coming and you'll forget about today and you're going to be showing your tail again. But today's message, watch this, today's message is not how to be a good it's not how to be good to your mother. Today's message is about a mother who had to make some hard choices for the welfare of her son. Anybody know something about that? Being a mother or a father isn't for the faint at heart. It requires some tough decisions, decisions that are risky and heart-wrenching, decisions that's going to require faith. I'd like for us to reflect on the story of a woman who is mentioned only a few times in Scripture. Yet despite her low profile, she provides a finely drawn portrait, a portrait of a mother with faith. She is consecrated. In fact, she even made it into the Hall of Fame, for in Hebrews 11 and 23, her name, according to Numbers 26 and 59, was Jochebed, and she was Moses' mother. The nation Israel had been in Egypt for almost 400 years, and they grew and prospered there. But before long, they became a threat to the reigning Pharaoh. So Pharaoh forced them into slavery. You better watch out for people who got a problem with your success, because they'll begin to try to make things hard for you when they get jealous of you. Lord, have mercy. By the sweat of their brow, cities like Phithom and Ramses were built, and he hoped to break their backs, but they continued to grow and prosper. So he turned up the heat a little more. And that would explain why when some of y'all are going through hell and high water, even though you balling and all of a sudden crazy come your way, and even though crazy and hell and madness and mayhem come your way, you still have the ability to shine in the midst of the madness. And you ever shine in the midst of the madness just to see it get a little crazier and crazier? Yes. Pharaoh commanded that the Hebrew midwives to murder newborn sons of the Hebrew women as they were giving birth. But when he discovered that he couldn't rely on the midwives because they feared God more than they feared him, he tried another approach. He told his people to stay on the lookout for the Hebrew babies. If they saw one, they were to throw them into the Nile and watch them drown. It was during this reign of terror that Jochebed became pregnant with her third child. And she didn't have to worry about her older children, Aaron and Miriam, but the child in her womb would be fair game for any patriotic Egyptian who was in a bad mood. Can you imagine living with such fear? When I think of times in which Jochebed was called to be a mother, I think of some of the mothers today. I think of mothers in parts of Africa who face the very real prospect of having their sons taken from their arms to be trained as soldiers. These are challenging days to be a mother in our world. Though no one could threaten to kill or steal our babies in America, there are forces at work, demonic forces at work, that threaten to drown our children nonetheless. Kids might drown in the river of violence and promiscuity that is pouring out of the TV, out of your TV set every day. They can drown in a sea of confusion as the lines between right and wrong are blurred in our society. We got commercials out now that tell you that it's okay to go against God's law. The devil is a lie. They can drown in a competitive culture that rewards, watch this, performance above character. Even every conscientious parent knows how dangerous it is to raise a child in today's world. If you got half a brain, you're concerned about how your baby gonna make it in this cold-blooded world. In this dangerous world in which she found herself, Jochebed stands out because she did what she could do to save her child. Then, when she could do no more, guess what she done? She depended totally on the faithfulness of God. And I think this is where some of us miss it as parents. When you get to the point to where you've done all you can do, the best thing you can do is back up and trust in the Lord that you serve. She was a model of faith. First of all, her faith was courageous. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews says about Jochebed. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child. And they were not afraid of the king's demands. Can I just go ahead and tell some of you mothers in here today that seem like you are going through hell and high water every time you turn around? It's not that your child is bad. It's not that your child don't listen. It's not that you're not a good mother. The problem is that you are raising something that is not ordinary. The problem is that you are raising something that is unusual. The problem is that you are raising something, and I don't care how old they are, but you are raising something that Satan is afraid of. You understand what I'm saying to you? And the best way to take care of the problem of the child is to be off with the head of the mother. I dare you right now to double down on your praying. I dare you to double down on your Bible reading. I dare you double down on your giving. I dare you double down on everything where it concerns God when it comes to your child, because what you have birthed and what you are raising or what you are helping to go on, as even as they are adults, there is nothing usual about them. You won't see another one of them. Lord, have mercy. Though the king said all the male Hebrew babies had to be thrown into the Nile, and I want to stop right there. Isn't it amazing that there's been a generational curse against the male boy, the male babies? Could this explain why all the males, why we have more males in drug dealing than we do women? Could this explain that we have more males in gun violence than we do women? Could this explain why we have more males, oh God, don't get me started, confused and don't know what they are? You understand what I'm saying to you? More than the women, because there has been a generational curse placed on our male boys, our male babies. Well, the king said all the male Hebrew babies had to be thrown into the Nile. Jochebed and her husband disobeyed the king and hid Moses for 3 months. And that takes courage. Imagine how hard it probably was to hide an infant. When our daughter was born, in fact, it was Miriam's first child. And Maya was so sweet, and she was so little, and she was so lovable in the hospital. But when we put her in the car seat for the ride home, It wasn't 5 minutes in the ride before Maya began to scream as loud as her little lungs would allow. And Miriam was so thrown off at her nonstop screaming, she looks at me and yells, "Take her back." That ain't the same thing that came out of the hospital, that was in the hospital. And we couldn't have hit her if we tried. She made way too much noise. But somehow Jochebed and her husband succeeding in hiding Moses. We often think of faith as passive, this whole idea of let go and let God. But real faith is an active thing. Let go and let God. Let me tell you something. Faith is a process, because let go and let God is a real thing, but it doesn't happen until your faith has went into action first. And some of y'all are waiting for God to do what he's supposed to do, but you ain't done your steps in the process to activate the move of God. Somebody better put their hands together. You can't have faith and be lazy. Because faith is an action word. Hallelujah. Faith sometimes causes us to do risky things. I think of mothers who have been unable to conceive but seen the opportunity to adopt children and take care of children who were not their own, or they would otherwise have spent their lives in an orphanage or in some type of household that would be threatening to their future and their destinies. And people to take this child that has no DNA makeup of their own at all, I think that is a courageous act of faith. I think of mothers who are married, watch this, to unbelieving husbands, but sometimes defy those husbands in order to expose their children to the truths of God's word. I think of mothers who stand up to their teenage son or daughter saying no to something that all the other mothers have said yes to. Do you understand this is the problem with so many people, so many families in the 21st century westernized church, is that when you got a mother that's saying no to what's supposed to be said no to, but you got four owls of mamas that's saying yes because it gets them out of their hair, it gets them out of their way, they get to chill with their boo or their bae, they get to hit the club with their friends, they get to go get their hair done, and so they neglect motherly responsibilities and duties just so they can have a little free time. Do you understand how hard it is for a true blood-bought mother who's trying to raise her children, and people in the same church is saying yes to hell, is saying yes to pornography, is saying yes to everything that they shouldn't be saying yes to, and mothers are standing to stand on the wall and raise their children for real are being hated by their very children because such and such mama let them do it, and such mama's going to let them go, and such mama went there with them. Makes it hard for the mother that's trying to raise their child in a godly manner. Makes it hard. And that's one thing. Oh, I hear you, Holy Ghost. And that's one thing that the church is supposed to do. The church is supposed to be of a like mind. Everybody's supposed to be thinking the same because we read the same Bible. We save the same, we serve the same God. And it can be very confusing to children when we begin to see that, and you know, because our kids, you know, we push our kids to read the Bible around here. And if they can't read, we read the Bible to them. You understand what I'm saying to you? We don't allow our kids to go around and say things that don't make sense because it's cute. No. We check our children. We tell them the truth about whatever it is. I remember one day when Maya was like 5 years old and we was Christmas and we went down to Frankfurt for the family. And her uncle said, now, don't you forget, Jesus is the reason for the season. And Maya said, well, first of all, Jesus wasn't born in December. And the uncle said, well, sure he was. She says, no, that's not quite possible. No. And she said, at 4 years old, she said, that's not possible. He was born more around late spring in the summer, and he wasn't born in no, you understand what I'm saying to you? Not long after that, the uncle came back. I said father because this man was a father to Miriam, Miriam's father, and he comes back and he says, you know what, you was right, Maya. And Maya was looking at him like, you ain't got to tell me. We read the Bible in our church. Not just at home, but in the church. Now, could you imagine how confusing it has to be for a child who isn't allowed to do some of the things that they see is allowed to do in other households, and those households belong to the same church that they do, though those things that they're allowed to do is illegal to the kingdom of God? Do you understand how demonically, how the enemy sets up a demonic a wedge between that child and the mother because that child, he or she just thinks, you don't let me do nothing. You don't ever want me to live. You ruin everything. You don't love me. They parents get. And you never stop to think that this is a demonic. This is why we have to be of the same mind. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In other words, he don't need your thinking. Think like he thought. We all think the same, and we can raise our kids the same for the betterment of them and for society. Amen. Yeah. All the kids should be mad on some Friday nights because couldn't none of them go. Guess what that's going to do? Make them be close to each other. And so at least if they hate us, they hate us in unity. Yeah. And the prayer is that they'll all come to the revelation at the same time that what we was talking about was on point. Because if you let them get away with it now, when they have babies, they gonna let their babies get away with it. Lord, have mercy. I think mothers who choose to give up a lucrative career so that they can stay home with their children when everyone around them says that they're crazy, I think that takes courage. Huh? We got some mothers in here right now that would have a little more money in their bank accounts if they didn't love their child as much as they do. What gives these mothers the courage? I don't know why God has got me in a prophetic mode today. Shamika Body, the Lord said, I am pleased. The enemy has been for years making you feel like it wasn't enough, that you fail in this area. The Lord said, tell you, I am pleased. I watched you work 2 jobs. I watched you work 3 jobs. I watched you go hungry. I watched you not have. I watched you not buy you for months so that your baby could and nobody else was trying to help you. God said, tell you, I am pleased. Lord, have mercy. Can we just give God a hand clap of praise for single mothers that's been doing this thing on their own? While them daddies is out there lying, talking about all they do, talking about them shoes they bought, talking about that, and they ain't done nothing for them. You got to be a bad shut your mouth to be a single mama in 2023. I'm here to tell you. You had to be a bad shut your mouth in 2016 if you was raising a baby on your own. If you've ever had to raise a child, let me tell you something. I was a single father for 4 months, and I almost lost my mind. You understand? If I wasn't drinking already, I'd have been drinking like crazy. Kids are crazy sometimes. I got me all in truancy court. I can't get up every morning in time to get them on the bus. Help me, Pastor Gross. It was just, I kept them fresh, but they wasn't educated. We might make school, we might not. Lord, help me, somebody. Got me all in court talking about neglect. They don't call it truancy when they put it on the thing. They call it child neglect, and the devil is a lie. I walked up in that piece. I didn't even let my kids go to school when we went to court that day, and they was in their freshest. You hear me? I mean, I had them all the way live, Jordan out. You know what I'm saying? And when they called, they said, Stephen Lyons, and I walked up. I said, yeah, I've been waiting. And my lawyer said, hold on. No. First of all, I want to deal with this word called neglect, because, see, my kids, do they look like they ain't eight stand-up? You can lock me up right now, but what you ain't getting ready to tell people is that I don't take care of my babies. And the judge was laughing. True story. The Lord stands in heaven as my witness. The judge started laughing, and he said, no, neglect is that you're not letting them get to school. I said, is that all? Well, you need to say something like that when you call my name. Don't be talking about neglect. Any parents in here know what I'm talking about? It is a disrespect to you for you to put neglect anywhere near your name when it comes to your babies. You better put some respect on my. I was ready to go to jail. I came with bond money, contempt of court money that day. School. Felt like Allen Iverson. Some of my brothers know what I'm talking about. Practice. Practice? I'm at the podium. School? School? Where I come from, neglect is you don't feed, you don't get ate, you don't get fed. Neglect is when you know when your mama buy a bag of weed over buying you some shoes and you got holes in your shoes to the point to where your sock is sticking out, and when it get rain, y'all don't hear me up here. Y'all see all of y'all, I could tell all y'all wore Eastlands, but for the people that I'm talking about, but for the people who wore coasters from Payless, do you know what I'm talking about today? Some of my ex-thug brothers know what I'm talking about. Got them women. My wife likes to always talk about, you know, she's traumatized because every now and then her grandmother who raised her would take them out and they'd get half a Whopper. And she's traumatized because she didn't get the whole Whopper. Girl, I didn't get a Whopper. At all. How many of y'all remember when you got McDonald's? The first, the third, and the 15th. Y'all better talk in here. I got any first of the month babies in here, amen. Hallelujah. Stand loud and proud, amen. We made it. I ain't got no problem with you great mothers that took care of your kids to the fullest, but I'm going to tell you something. Can I just speak on behalf of us that had it hard growing up? We don't want to hear about it. Miriam started telling stories. I'd be like, look, I'm from a broken home. I don't know anything about that. Go ahead and tell your story since you want to brag. You want to brag. Thanks a lot, Mom. Oh, God, let me. What gives these mothers the courage to act in such a way is that they fear God more than they fear man. They want to please God more than they want to please their friends or their children or even their husbands. They are consecrated, and they trust God. They trust that as they are obedient to what he's calling the children to do, what he's calling them to do in the face of threatening circumstances, he'll take care of them as well as the child. Jochebed also had a sensible faith. After 3 months of hiding her baby, she saw the handwriting on the wall. She wasn't going to be able to, hide any longer. And she made a little wicker basket covered it with tar and pitch to make it float and put it in the reeds on the bank of the Nile. And it's interesting that the word for basket is the same word used for Noah's Ark. Noah's ark was covered with tar and pitch, just like this one was. Both Noah and Moses were placed in the ark, which is not a very safe environment, because the occupants of the ark were at the mercy of the elements. And in other words, the Nile was known to be full of crocodiles. At 3 months old, Moses was completely helpless in a river filled with crocodiles. But I want you to notice what Jochebed was not careless about this. She was sensible in her faith. She didn't send him floating down the river. She placed him among the reeds along the banks of the Nile. This was a place where women could congregate and be there. It was the kind of like placing a baby on the steps of a hospital today. So she also didn't just put him out in the Nile and wave goodbye saying, "Good luck and have a nice life, Moses. Maybe I'll see you sometime." She had Moses' older sister stand at a distance to find out what would happen to him. If Jochebed herself had stood by the reeds watching and waiting, it would have been obvious who she was. But Moses' sister made for a good spy. Then Moses was discovered in the Nile by and his sister offered to find a Hebrew woman to nurse him, and the plan fell into place. You see, Jochebed was clever. She was sensible in her planning. You got to be sensible in your planning today. You're raising these kids today, you got to be sensible in your planning. I told my wife a couple of weeks ago, and I had a clipboard, and she had just got back from dropping my off of school. I had a clipboard and coffee and her tea. I said, "Sit down." And I put the clipboard right there. She said, "What?" I said, "This is the play. This is the play for the day. While she's at school, we got to get strong together for when that thing gets home." You ever get so mad at your kids you call them things? That's your child. That's your baby. I got a blueprint every day. How are we going to go about it? And every day she shows us that we're not as smart as we think. And you ain't allowed to beat your kids in 23. Wasn't that just the ultimate? When everything else fell out. I remember growing up, when everything else didn't work, they just beat us. They beat us into submission. Nowadays, you beat your kids, they call people on you. Amen. They call people on you now. You remember you could beat your kids at the A&P and the Kroger? Back in the day, you could just beat them, because all down the roads, kids was just getting beat all down the roads, and everybody minded their business. You beat your kids in front of the wrong people today. You remember when the teacher used to give you swats and then they send you home and then you got another whooping? You remember when you used to walk down the street and you got caught saying a cuss word and nanny four houses down would whoop your butt, take you home, and tell your mama she whooped your butt, and then your mama would whoop your butt and she didn't have a problem with nanny, because that's how we village the babies. Today, kids can cuss grown folk out and we ready to catch a case if we even say something to them for cussing us out. Ain't been to one PTA meeting. Ain't returned one email from the school. But to let the baby come home and say that they was wrong by the teacher, and we up there in hair rollers and bathrobes ready to lose our mind. You got to be sensible. Part of being sensible is know how to improvise on the spot. I remember we was marrying a couple one time, and I met them at the wedding rehearsal, and they was practicing the unity counterpart, and the mom started laughing, and she began to tell me that at the beginning of her other daughter's wedding, they was getting ready to light the candles, not realizing that she had got too close to the fire and her acrylic nail had set on fire. And trying not to ruin the daughter's big day, she calmly lit the candle from her flaming nail. And then, like one of them old gunslingers, put the fingernail out. That's a funny story of how a mother's sensibility, but sometimes the sensibility required of a mother is far more consequential. There are mothers who have been chosen to who have chosen to give up their child for adoption simply because it was the best thing for the child. For some women, that is a decision that requires enormous faith and foresight and a fierce love. We got adopted children out here running around thinking that their parents didn't love them. No, baby, it was love that let you go. It was love that let you go. I also think of mothers who would love to be stay-at-home moms, but the family finances won't allow it. Daddy ain't doing his part in some instances, and they find ways to make it work that work best for their kids. They find a way to work from home, or they have a godly aunt or a grandmother provide childcare while they stagger to work. Dead tired trying to find this babysitter and that babysitter. Can somebody get them to this shelter? Can somebody get them to this program for me? Because I'm going to be too busy getting across town so that I can buy the clothes for them. Y'all don't hear me in here. Man, I love the mother who struggles for her child. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I got 4 minutes. I got to do this fast. Moses' mother is courageous. Sensible faith, her courageous and sensible faith was soon rewarded by God. As Moses floated along the banks of the Nile, the daughter of Pharaoh arrived with her maidens, and the text says that she saw a basket and said, "Bring it to me." And she opened it, and there was a child crying, and she had pity on him. He was one of the Hebrews, and he could have just as well been dead. It was standard procedure for a wealthy woman to hire what was called a wet nurse to feed a child until he was weaned. And the wet nurse would be the legal guardian during those years, those first years. So a wet nurse was just simply a woman that had been hired to breastfeed for that child. And this was done just on the end case that the mama might pass away, or for whatever reason she didn't want a nurse in that manner. They would hire a wealthy woman would hire these nurses to breastfeed their children. It was a custom. So watch this. Just at the right time, Moses' sister moved in and made an offer to help fulfill that custom. Lord, have mercy. She then went to find Jochebed, who not only got to raise her child, watch this, but got paid for the work. How many of you would like to get paid for raising your child? And I ain't talking about AFDC. Mm-hmm. Surely you can see God's hand in all of this. The mother did what she could, but she couldn't have done it all on her own. Pharaoh's chosen instrument of death, the Nile River, became the instrument through which Moses was saved. Watch how God used that. You see how he used that? His mother even followed Pharaoh's orders in placing him there. A member of Pharaoh's own family came to the river at just the right time and rescued the future deliverer, who also seemed to know just when to cry. The baby was reunited with his mother, who was then able to raise the child during most of his formative years, teaching him about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Then she released him to Pharaoh's daughter after he was weaned. And Moses spent his youth in Pharaoh's court, the Hebrew baby, where he learned law, rhetoric, mathematics, and even the art of war. And then Moses led, watch this, 2 million people through a desert, putting all of these disciplines to work. Did you notice that God is never mentioned once in this passage? Still, we know that he's at work. There are things mothers can do, but ultimately, watch this, they have to leave it in the hands of God. Can I talk to every mother in here? It's going to be some point, some time when you've got to stand down and let your child go through what they've got to go through. That's the hardest thing, isn't it? Letting go. A mother's love never changes, but parenthood is a constant process of letting go. Letting your child make mistakes, letting your teenager learn some things the hard way, letting your adult child follow God's call, even if that means he or she will live 1,000 miles away. Mothers, take heart. He'll use your courageous, sensible faith to accomplish his purposes. He's working behind the scenes to accomplish his purpose in your children's lives. He will use you, but he will not leave it all up to you. Let me say it again. He will use you, but he will not leave it all up to you. So I just want to be an encouragement to every mother in the building today. When it looks like God is not anywhere to be found, when it looks like you're not going to be able to feed your child, when it looks like your child won't grow up and develop as all the other children, when it looks like your child is on his way to prison, on her way to prison, when it looks like your child is on her way to the stripper pole, when it looks like your child is going to be a drug addict, when it looks like your child is going to mess around and get killed in this gang activity, when it looks like it's going to go to hell in a handbasket, God is on your side and he's working it out behind the scenes. He's working it out behind the scenes. So, Mama, get out the way. Mama, get out the way. The Bible says, train up a child in the way they should go. And when they grow old, they won't depart from it. I was raised in the church. But as soon as I was able, as soon as I got up out of my grandmother's care, I turned to the religion of Islam. Before I ever went to prison, I became a Muslim. A Muslim so much so that I taught my children Arabic. A Muslim so much so that when I finally did go to prison, they immediately voted me Imam of the Yard. Muslim teacher, Muslim preacher of the yard. So much Muslim that when 9/11 happened and everybody started bum rushing the Muslim stores, trying to act like they was upset about what happened, but for real, they was just stealing. I showed up at every store, pistol in hand, because those was my brothers, and off with the head of the enemy and anyone who tried them. My grandmother just prayed. She just prayed. You know what my grandmother done? She went out and she bought a Quran, an Islamic Bible, so to speak. And later she would tell me, I bought the Quran because I wanted to know what the devil was feeding you. She never said a word about Muslims. She never said a word about Islam. She never said a word about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She never done it. She just prayed. She just prayed. Out of prison, my first sermon in my uncle's church, the first sermon that I ever preached in my uncle's church in Louisville, Kentucky. When I got done, it was such a big deal that I was preaching. They made a special service about it. And after I got done preaching, all of my family got up. But it was my grandmother who got up and said, I prayed. I prayed and I reminded God that I kept you in church. I prayed and I reminded God that I kept you in the Bible. I prayed and I reminded God that I kept you praying when I prayed. I wouldn't let you eat till you prayed. I wouldn't let you go to school till you prayed. I prayed. And I reminded God of his word. Train you up. That's what I done. I Proverbs 22:6 you. I trained you up in the way that you were supposed to go. And when you got older, you came back home. You might have left for a minute, but can I just go ahead and tell all the mamas in the house today, don't you keep crying. Don't you keep worrying. Don't you be on the verge of giving up. Don't you keep wondering if you're doing a good job. Just keep praying. It's going to be prayers that you sow today that's going to help in 10 years. It's going to be prayers that you sow today that's going to tell the judge, don't give them life in prison. It's going to be prayers that you pray today that's going to keep them in their right mind off of drugs and off the pole. You've got to pray. Some of your mamas have gone on to glory, but her prayers are being answered nonetheless. Can I tell you that when mama die, when grandmama die, the prayers don't die. Everything that they bombarded heaven with in prayer gets answered. It might not get answered while they're here to see it. They might not get to celebrate it in the earth realm, but I just believe crazy. I believe that they get to shout like, oh God, you don't hear me in here. I believe they get to shout glory on the strength that you made it. I believe it's the prayers of the righteous that availeth much, that prayer can enter a situation and turn everything around. You can call me crazy, but I just believe that on the strength of a grandmama on her knees in the midnight hour, crying her heart out in prayer, Lord, let them be okay. Lord, don't let it take them. Lord, don't let it break them. Lord, don't let it institutionalize them. It's the prayers. It's the prayers. Some of you are trying to figure out how you in your right mind right now. It's our prayers. It's our prayers. I just dare about a few people in here to just shout about mama's prayers, about grandmama's prayers, how you know they kept you in your right mind, how you seen God honor the prayers because they was righteous. They might not have been rich, but they was righteous. They might not have had it all, but they was holy. They might not have been balling, but they was believers. Can I get somebody to give God a hand clap of praise for the people who prayed on your behalf? Prayed on your behalf. It takes a lot. It takes a lot to be you. I applaud the woman. It takes a lot to be her. Tears rolling down her eyes. Those wasn't a creation of God. That's a response of the responsibility. It takes a lot to be her. And I just want you to give God a clap that you're still holding on. God bless you.